It's been a tough year for those who follow sports. Fans of the NFL have withstood storylines involving a string of domestic abuse cases, the ever-present worry about the long-term effects of concussions, and a kerfuffle over deflated footballs. College sports fans have learned of new academic scandals and started asking bigger questions about whether athletes should be compensated for their efforts. Controversy even struck the Little League World Series as the U.S. champions were stripped of their title. In this segment of Only a Game, we'll talk to longtime consumer advocate Ralph Nader and Olympic champion Edwin Moses about the state of our games. Are sports broken, and can they be fixed? We begin with a question of LeBron James Jr. He may be a very good college basketball player in about 8 years. Right now, he's 10. This week, we learned that some college coaches have already written to let young LeBron know they're interested. He's even received some scholarship offers, which feels a little weird since it would seem his dad could handle the tuition, room and board and fees without too much trouble. Joining me is Dr. Dan Gould, the director of the Institute for the Study of Youth Sports at Michigan State University. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You have worked with athletes of various ages, children included. How does the idea of a 10-year-old being courted by a college coach strike you?
Unfortunately, it makes sense given how professionalized children's sports have become, but it makes no logical sense based on my knowledge of athlete talent development. And it's just kids aren't ready to even be considering where they're going to go to college, much less be recruited.
I'm sure most 10-year-old basketball players would be thrilled to hear from Ohio State or from Kentucky, but can we assume that there might be some negative consequences involved either in the present or somewhere down the line?
Oh, sure. Especially, he's 10, and most kids hit puberty 11 to 12. And now, obviously, his dad's a tremendous athlete. But even if your dad's a tremendous athlete, it doesn't mean you get the exact gene set to become a tremendous athlete. It'd be hard enough being LeBron James' kid, and people come to the game and, well, you're not as good as your dad, much less now colleges are recruiting you. In some ways, it can steal the young person's childhood.
This week's story is a big deal in part because the 10-year-old's father is one of the best basketball players on the planet. But have you heard of other cases this extreme or nearly this extreme?
Well, over the years, we've run into parents who really push their kids. They love their kids, but they want to ensure their kids are going to be successful, and they somehow get bought into sport as a ticket. There's studies that have been done that show that it's very hard to predict athletic talent. There was just a study done in Europe, like with 4,000 or 5,000 tennis players and judo players at the junior level, and there wasn't a very good correlation between being a junior rank player and being a senior rank player. So if you're looking under puberty, sure, you'd get some prodigies like Tiger Woods was. But I even wonder now Tiger's aging out, but he has so many injuries. Was that because he started so young?
Started swinging a golf club when he was 2 years old on Johnny Carson or something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not, as you're suggesting, just basketball. Sixth-grader football players are being profiled on the recruiting site Rivals.com. One such preteen is described as the future Tom Brady in action. What does it do to the psyche of a 12-year-old child to be described that way?
Well, one, most kids are probably going to like the notoriety. I mean, you get your picture in the paper, everybody's saying you're great. And that's fine as long as you keep playing well. But if some of the other, maybe you play the same as you have, but the other kids hit their growth spurt and they get bigger and stronger, and you're not winning quite as much as you used to, it's sort of like there's only one way to go and down. I just came back from a conference in Washington when we were talking a lot about long-term athlete development. And most of the research says for people who are genetically gifted enough and have the motivation, they want a sport sample when they're young. They want to fall in love with the sport. They just want to play, be a kid. They need free play activities. Then, 14, 15, they start to learn to train. They get more serious. And then when they get to college for most sports, that's when it gets more serious. But a lot of people are trying to condense this to younger ages today.
As you have suggested, often a young athlete's biggest boosters are his parents. What advice would you give to parents of an athlete who's shown great promise as early as 10 years old?
Yeah, what I would do is first, I wouldn't talk about potential. We've studied Olympic champions' parents. And in the early years of sport involvement, they focused on teaching their kids values that most of us want to teach our kids. Follow through on your commitments. Be a good sport. Be a good teammate. Enjoy your friends. If you get success, great, but we love you whether you're successful or not. If you work with young people and they fall in love with sport, they're going to drive their own involvement. They're going to not need me as the parent driving them. So I'd sort of back off, you know, encourage them, be supportive, but sometimes you may even, they want to practice all year round and that might not be good for their arm if they're a young pitcher, and you make them take some time off. I often use the analogy, just because a kid wants to do it doesn't mean we allow them to. Like, most kids would want to stay up all night and eat candy. But as a parent, we step in. So just because your son loves baseball and wants to be on the Red Sox at 10 doesn't mean we let him play 11 months a year.
It strikes me also that it's hard, perhaps, to figure out what the consequences are of parent-child involvement in this field. Take Tiger Woods, for example, whom you brought up. His dad had him swinging a golf club on national television very shortly after he learned to walk. He became perhaps the greatest golfer of all time. And now, of course, he's gone through all sorts of scandal and is having, as you say, all sorts of physical problems. I'm not sure what the straight lines of logic and development are there.
Well, and I think for most of us that study this area will tell you, being any kind of parent, but a sport parent, is not easy. Your kids don't come with playbooks. They don't come with instructions. And as a parent, you're trying to figure it out. And I think a lot of times what we do is we see the pro model on TV, and we kind of do what we see the pro coaches do or with the pro athletes. And, you know, we don't make elementary school college. We give things to kids that are developmentally appropriate. And as a parent, I kind of need to realize that and help my kid do the best they can and make their way through this world.
Dan Gould is the director of the Institute for the Study of Youth Sports at Michigan State University. Dan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, no problem. It was great talking to you.